You're listening to Reaching Higher, presented by Olu Akintuni, pastor of Higher Life Christian Center.
Anybody remember last week what we talked about? Or the word of encouragement was what? Come on now. No notes, nothing. Anybody get a text for me? Thank you very much. God can take care of what? God can take care of you. Amen. So the whole essence of that was to encourage you and I, that our Heavenly Father knows how to take care of us. And I like something. A friend of mine called me. I think he was in the States, and he called me, and he said he's not just that he can, but he is taking care of us, even when we don't even realize that he's actually behind the scenes working things out for our good. Amen. So It's so important to know that God can, as a believer, that God has a situation at hand. Because we all go through things. And we've been looking at the life of Joseph. Looking at how he was able to triumph, even in trying, difficult circumstances. Something Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. He said, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus gave his disciples that assurance that, you know what, I am with you always, even until the end. He will never leave us or forsake us. We represent him in whatever context he places us in life. And when difficulties come, he's there. He's right there. The advice that was given to Joshua in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, it says, "So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will never fail you nor abandon you." God is not in the abandoning business. But it doesn't mean that we will not go through stuff in life. It doesn't mean that there will not be situations that will arise in life that are difficult. But one thing you can be rest assured as a believer is that God will not abandon you. Say to your neighbor, God will not abandon you. Amen. We all go through periods in life when it seems as if the whole of hell has broken loose. You just think that maybe the devil just got your number. It's one story after another story, one calamity after another, one problem after another. You set a plan in motion, you start moving towards it, and the goalpost keeps moving. You know, so you don't hit the target, and you're wondering what on earth is going on. And what I'm trying to say to you is that this is not about self-help. By the time we end this message, which I hope to end today, you will see that it's not about some selfish, self-absorbed ideal I'm trying to promote or put across to you. But what I'm saying is, you need to know that when you're going through stuff in life, that God has got your back. Amen? Even when you don't seem to understand why, what, or how, he expects us to trust him in all circumstances. Let's turn to John chapter 17. John 17, verse 14 to 19. John chapter 17, verse 14 to 19. I'm reading the NLT. It says, "I have given them your word." This is a part of Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. "And the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, to this world, any more than I do. Make them holy by your word," or by your truth. "Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them also into the world. And I give them myself as a holy sacrifice for them so that they can be made holy by your truth. Jesus is saying that we are not of the world. We might be in the world. We might be in the world, but we're not of it. So we don't have the same value system as the world. We don't do things like the world. Amen. We don't do things as what? The world. Praise the Lord. Jesus said we're not of the world. So he doesn't expect us to behave like them. He doesn't expect us to act like them. He doesn't expect us to have their mindset and the way that they do things. As Christians, we live in a world that operates by a different value system from us. And sometimes, because of our stance in Christ, we seem to be left out. Because you can't go down and get in the gutter like everybody else. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you with me? Come on, people. Are you with me? You can't get into backbiting. You can't get into backstabbing. You can't do a lot of the nasty things that people do. Well, you can, but you shouldn't. Because the ability to do so is there, but you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't be getting into all the stuff that people get involved in just to get ahead. Amen? So you have to live in the world, but you can't operate the world the way that they do things. You can't have the same value system as them because of who you are in Christ. Our relationship with our Heavenly Father becomes the basis by which we act and make our decisions in life. You remember what we said last week? When Joseph was faced with temptation, he remembered God. In fact, his standing with God was more important to him than his relationship with his boss, even though he also mentioned that. But the most important thing to him was his relationship with God, because it would be a great sin against God for him to sleep with his boss's wife. For some hustler, they might have seen it, well, this is your chance to have an easy life. You no longer be seen as a slave. You no longer be a slave. You get away with it. There'll be no problems. You'll be completely all right. Come on, Joseph. What's wrong with you? Are you crazy? Look at the opportunity this lady is giving you. The husband would never know. But he said, how can I? Genesis chapter 39, verses 8 to 9. He says, but Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in this entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. His honesty and his integrity landed him in jail. Here is a guy trying to do the right thing here, or doing the right thing, and he ended up on lockdown simply because he said no to sin, no to doing things by the back door. It is true that our integrity is really tested when we're behind closed doors. Do you know that? Most of us behave ourselves when everybody is looking at us, when all eyes are on us. But what happens when nobody else can see what's going on? What happens when there is nobody there? Do we remember God? You and I need to ask ourselves that question as we meditate on this. When nobody else is there, do we remember God? Because obviously when there are people there, you get your best behavior on and everything is fine and great. You act well, but when the people who would watch you are not there, for the youngsters, when your parents are not there, what do you do? Amen. Some people are all great at church, but when they're outside, when their parents are not there, away from the saints, then they act like they're not a saint, like they know nothing about Christianity. Then they start to swear and say all kinds of stuff but they would never do that. When they're around, it's like they're an angel. Amen. Are you with me? And that is very important to God. Joseph could have got away with it, maybe for a while. But he decided not to do that. That would have been a short way to getting the freedom he wanted. Have you ever done the right thing and ended up in trouble? Have you ever done the right thing and ended up in trouble? Because that's what he did. Joseph did the right thing, but he ended up in trouble. But when he got into trouble for doing the right thing, God was there. Genesis 39, verses 19 to 23 says, Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. Because the woman grabbed his shirt, Joseph ran away and left his coat. He left it there. Second time, his coat is getting him into trouble. First, it was his brother's. Now, it's Potiphar's wife. He left that there and ran away. The woman kept it by her side for the husband to come and say, look at how this boy, this slave, this guy you brought into the house, now he's dissing me. He tried to rape me. And the Bible says when she reported that, when you go home, read the whole of 39. When she reported that, it says Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into prison where the king's prisoners were held. And there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in prison and showed him his faithful love. We can't be going through stress, but God is there with us. We can't be going through stuff, but God is there. And it does not mean we should now say, oh, no, I'm not doing this anymore. It should be an opportunity for us to trust him. Amen. Are you with me? It should be an opportunity for us to what? Trust him. It's amazing the way Potiphar's mind works. When you read it, I mean, Joseph being accused of rape, like the young people say now, they say, that's messed up, isn't it? That is really messed up, isn't it? He's being accused of something he didn't do. Or the Americans will say, that ain't right. And one of the things that I found difficult, when you read the text and you think about it, Potiphar did not even give him a hearing. Here is a guy that made you prosper. Here is a guy that's been faithful through the years, working for you, doing all this stuff. You can even attest to the fact that because this guy has come into your life has become better, and suddenly you get a charge, and it's amazing that he didn't even give the guy a fair hearing. It doesn't even look as if, maybe he did, but the text doesn't seem to suggest that he even tried to check to find out if what his wife says is true or not. He just went with what the woman said. He could care less and put the guy in jail. You know, at least sometimes in life, people check your history. They don't even check your track record to see how faithful or how good you've been. And they just quickly just accept what one person says and bang, put the guy in jail. Not even a fair hearing. But the thing is, all the while when these accusations were going on, God was there. All the while when these problems were going on, God was there and he saw. But little did Joseph realize that while he was going through all this stuff, God was working behind the scenes. God was working what? Behind the scenes. Have you ever been through a problem and then you sit back, when you go through it, you sit back and you say, you know what, Lord, I now understand why you allowed me to go through this. Because if I did not go through this, then X, Y, and Z might not have happened in my life. Are you with me? Because if God had not arranged the events that way, then stuff wouldn't have happened. He was put in jail with political prisoners. People who had upset the king end up in that jailhouse. And he was put there. But the good thing is, like the scripture says, God was there all the time with him. And they even put him in charge, even in jail. He had favor, and he was the one managing the jail for the jailer, taking care of all the folks, sensitive to the needs of the cupbearer and the baker, who had a dream. And they woke up in the morning, they were troubled about their dream. When each of, I think the cupbearer gave his dream first, and it was a favorable interpretation that Pharaoh was going to raise you up and put you back in your position. So that made the baker bold to share his own dream. So he shared his own dream, and his own dream wasn't a favorable interpretation. He was going to be impaled in the next few days. And it happened exactly like that. The cupbearer got reinstated, and the baker ended up dead. When the guy was leaving prison, if you read the scripture, Joseph said to him, he said, you know what? Please, remember me. Because you know I was put here unjustly. So it shows that he did recognize the fact that what they were doing to him was unjust, even though he still got on with it. So I'm not trying to paint Joseph like this guy who don't feel nothing. He knew that what they did was unjust. But despite their unjust treatment, he still put his trust in God, kept doing the best he can in the circumstances that he was in. Knowing that ultimately El Shaddai held his future. God Almighty held his future, not Potiphar, not the system, not even Pharaoh. God Almighty did. And 2 years he waited in that jail. That guy forgot him. I mean, who closer to Pharaoh than the cupbearer? The guy who pours the wine in the cup for the king to... I think he would even... Will he taste it or whatever? He would taste it and check to, you know, make sure there's no foreign substances in there. Who better than him? But you see, the circumstances were not right. Even though he was in jail, even though he had the tarnished mark of him being a rapist of his boss's wife, the circumstances were not right. But when the circumstances were right, guess what happened? Pharaoh had a dream. He wanted somebody to interpret the dream. And that, at the right time, the cupbearer remembered. He remembered Joseph at the right time. And when it all happened and came together, Joseph went to bed a prisoner. He woke up and he did not end the day in prison. He ended up being the prime minister of Egypt. But what you can look at in the whole story was God's timing. God was working events behind the scenes. All Joseph did was trust God. And he had a philosophy about it. That, you know what? My life is in El Shaddai's hands. My life is in the hands of the God of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God that my forefathers had taught me about. El Shaddai, the covenant maker. My life is in his hands. So no matter what's happening around me, he is the one that has the final say. He didn't know how he was going to get out of jail. He told the guy to put in a good word for him, and the guy forgot. Okay, do you know what it is to wait for 2 years? Maybe some of you do, in certain circumstances in life. You're waiting for your life to change, and it's not changing. If you were in our day in the church world, where every single year a pastor has to give a nice word of what the year will be. This year is your year of breakthrough. This year is your year of overflow. This year is the year of, advancement. The year of progression. The year of greatness. The year of abundance. And Joseph, 2 years, sat there. The guy didn't even remember. He didn't even remember that somebody even helped him out. I wonder what year it was for Joseph every single year. Slavery, accusation, prison. But the young man knuckled down, trust God, just kept moving. Did it hurt? Yes. Was it fair? No. But the only person that could get him out of his situation was God. And the thing about being a believer is getting to the point where you abandon yourself on God and trust him. It doesn't mean that you just sit down, you do nothing and watch TV. That's not what I'm saying. But you're actively trusting him even though the circumstances are unfavorable. A boy who came from a rich, privileged family, Jacob wasn't a poor man, ends up becoming a slave. If you really meditate and think about this adjustment in this guy's life, ends up becoming a slave. He could have said, in my father's house, I don't do this. We have maid servants and people who do stuff for us. I'm not going to do no work. No, he just got on. He must have had an adjustment to his thinking to just work and progress no matter what circumstance he found himself. The Bible guarantees that we will go through persecution. The Bible guarantees that not everybody will like us being believers. It does say that we will be misunderstood. The scriptures does indicate that we'll be misrepresented. The scripture does indicate that we'll be treated unjustly at times. But in the midst of all this pressure, in the midst of all this madness, our Heavenly Father wants us to put our trust in Him. He wants us to put our trust in Him, and He wants us to trust His ability to put us over the line. Paul said in Timothy 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, Paul said, in fact, say to your neighbor, in fact. Say it again, in fact. Now listen to what he said. In fact, everybody who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. He didn't say might be. He said you will be. That means you might have to suffer exclusion. Some of our brothers in other parts of the world end up dead just because of faith in Christ. Because they're not even protected at all. Peter also talked about Christians being treated unjustly. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19. Have you got that? It says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Can you see what he's saying? As though something strange were happening to you. It's not strange. Don't look at it as if it's strange. The fiery ordeals you go through. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ. Can you hear that? He says you should what? Rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. Hello? Did you read that? It says, if you are what? Insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. Might not be popular to Western culture. How dare you insult me? It might not be popular to African culture. Who do you think you are? Do you know who I am? See, two cultures there. It might not be comfortable with our flesh. But the Bible says that if you're insulted in the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal. Or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed. Did you hear that? Because the thing that we do is, oh, we just not get ashamed of ourselves. But the Bible is saying you need to go back and meditate on this. I need to meditate on this for the days ahead in this country. It says, look, if you're a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Can you see that? If you're suffering as a Christian, are you with me, everyone? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. So when you don't even understand and you're suffering, commit yourself to who? To God. And did he say you stop doing good? He says you continue doing good in spite of what people are doing to you. Amen. Are you here with me, people? Are you hearing this? Are you hearing this? I know this does not match our self-absorbed culture, but this is what Scripture teaches. Sometimes we say things, and I will include myself in this. Paul's prayer, you remember? Or his statement in Philippians. He says, that I may know him. Anybody know that scripture? In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. Let's all turn there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. He says, I want to know Christ. Or like the traditional translations would say, that I may know him. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. And we love that, don't we? I want the power. A lot of Christians want the power. They're excited about the power. Oh, the glory of God came down and, you know, the anointing was there. They like the power. But don't forget, read the whole thing. He said, and participation in his sufferings. Hello? Any of us sign up for that? He says what? And participation in his what? Sufferings. Becoming like him in his death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. That's Paul's mindset. Some of us say, Lord, I want to know you. Yeah, you do. Do you want the other side of it? The fellowship of his suffering. The stuff that we go through because of who we are in him. The stuff that we go through because of the message that we've embraced. Like I've illustrated time and time again this week, today, I've said it and I'll say it again. As Christians, we all go through dark periods. People falsely accuse us. And sometimes situations might seem beyond our control. We should always realize, and I want you to hear this, we should always realize that God Almighty is in control even in the midst of the chaos. Say that to your neighbor. God Almighty is in control even in the midst of the chaos. And that's something you must never forget. He has the ultimate say in whatever any of us are going through in life. He has the ultimate say. The enemy doesn't. The pilot has to trust his instruments in the cockpit, doesn't he? That all the gauges and everything is reading right. He has to take instructions from the control tower, doesn't he? Rarely, except if there's a crash or something and he's looking for a place to land and everything's all gone haywire, normally, he's not going to look outside. He can't see anything through the clouds as to where, you know, New York is or where Nigeria is or where Jamaica is. He's not. Oh, you know what? Hey, I'm going to fly you guys to Jamaica, but I'm going to look through the window. Wait, whichever leads me. He's not going to do that. It doesn't work like that. He has to take instructions. And he's going to have confidence in the people giving him that instruction. He's going to have confidence in with the control tower that they know what they're doing. And he's going to have to trust all the gauges he's looking at there that they're telling him the right thing. If you tell him how many feet he is or how high he's gone, the instrument will tell him. He's not going to have to go with something else. I say, you know what? I know it says 300, you know, maybe 3,000 of, you know, feet. Or, you know, but my body feels like 10 feet, so maybe it's 10 feet. You know, he's not going to do that. He's going to look at what the controls say. And what I'm saying is, we need to take instructions from our Heavenly Father and trust his word when we're going through turbulence in life. When we're going through our own turbulence, our own personal turbulence, we need to trust his word. We need to put our trust in him, even though we don't even know how we're going to get out of it. Because Joseph had no clue that he was going to wake up the following day and end up talking to Pharaoh. But what you can see through his life was consistent trusting of God, even through the pain. And like I said last week, does it hurt? Yes. But even in the midst of the pain, Paul said, our light affliction. That this is a light affliction in comparison to the glory that will be revealed. Whatever we're going through in this life. And we need to have that perspective. The rape accusation that Joseph suffered was what put him in contact with the cupbearer, who 2 years after that brought him to Pharaoh. But you know the bigger thing about this whole story as I wrap this up? Is that God Almighty knows how to work all things together for our good. In fact, Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And we know that in all things God works for good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. The situation of Joseph, to the people who perpetrated the crime, his brothers, they meant it for evil. But because God is sovereign, and because God is all-powerful, God made it for good. God used the hatred of his family to send him to Egypt. God used the hatred of his family to put him in Potiphar's house. God used the madness and the lust of Potiphar's wife to get him in prison, where he ended up meeting the man that 2 years later will put him where God wants him to be. Was the journey there painful? I mean, if you were us going to construct this thing, we could have found a different way to do it, you know. We'd do it in style, you know. We wouldn't let him go through all those character development things and all those hard things and all those disgusting things he had to put up with. We wouldn't have let him do that. We would have done it in a very nice way. Stress-free. I mean, God, you're God. Why put the guy through that? But the whole thing with us is a walk of faith. It's an adventure of faith. We never have all the details. We don't know everything. All throughout this experience, Joseph had no clue how he was going to change or get out of it. I think a lot of it made sense. It made even a lot more sense when he saw his brothers come to buy food. He kind of had a flashback. Oh my God. Oh yes. That's what it's all about. He didn't hold it against them like some of us would. Now I'm the king, man. I'm going to show you. You guys. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. You guys thought that you were going to. Yeah? You want to switch my lights off? Okay, now I will show you who the boss is, yeah? All right, I'm going to show you something. That's how people are. You guys thought you could oppress me, eh? When I was begging you, remember when I was begging you, when I was in the pit and crying and telling you guys, please help me? You guys were like, yeah, right, eating your food. Okay, you know what? Now I'm going to show you. Guess what? I can order all your heads right now. But you know what? I'm going to make it hurt you really bad. I'm going to show you pepper. That's what we would do. But look at his response. You can read the whole story because of time. But if you look at Genesis chapter 45, verses 4 to 10. And while we're turning to that, I can't even begin to imagine what Potiphar's wife will be thinking now. That, you know, the way, if you've been to a village or something, you hear all the, you know, noise and normal natural life and horses, if you watch any of these films. And guess what's happening? Joseph is now the prime minister of Egypt. Joe who? Oh my God. You know what, honey? Potiphar, you know what? He didn't do it. You better go and apologize. He didn't do it. I lied. You can imagine that. But his brothers, gosh. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." This is when he revealed himself in chapter 45. When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me there. Because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you, to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. See how he saw it? A great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. You thought you were doing me bad, but God was using that. God knows every bad thing somebody will do to you. God knows every single pain you will go through. But if you will trust him through the pain barrier, if I might talk like a sportsman, not that I do any sports anymore. If you can, for those gym guys, if you can just trust him past that, God can use that for your good. Even the pain, even the betrayal. If you just trust him through that. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of Egypt. Come down. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have. Wow. See, God knew the famine was coming, just like God knew that this economic crisis was going to come. He knew it was going to come, and there were some believers that saw it, and there were some that were too greedy to see it. But even in the midst of this, God knows how to and will take care of us if we trust him. His methods might not be conventional. It might not be the way that we think it's going to happen or the way it's going to come. But you know what? He's God. You're his child. And if you put your trust in him, he will see you through it. But all he requires from us is trust. Amen. We look at another stopgap. After Jacob had died, his brothers were still scared. They were thinking like, people change. After, you know, like in some families, when the person who brings people together dies, the whole family just splinters. Do you know that? Have you seen that in some families? When the uniting force in the family, who could, might be one person, when that person leaves the scene, everybody just now, to your tent, to Israel. You know what I mean by that? Everybody just mind their own business. They don't have anything to do with each other anymore. So these guys thought that because daddy is now gone, Joseph will now take revenge. That reminds me of, please forgive me, the Godfather. Godfather 2, is it? When Fredo betrayed the family. And Michael Corleone said, I don't want to see him. But he said, I will do nothing to him while my mother is alive. But once my mom dies, I'm going to get him. That's the kind of mindset that Jacob's brothers had. That now that daddy is dead, guess what? He's going to now take revenge. And look at what the guy did. Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 to 21. But it's good to read the whole story in your own time, okay? He says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrong we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. These guys are so crafty. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves. Yeah, right. They said, but Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he assured them and spoke kindly to them. Amazing man. And that's something that we as Christians need to take on board. When people treat us wrong, treat us bad, take advantage of us, say all kinds of stuff against us, slander our names and all sorts. For me, in closing this, the whole story of Joseph's life shows us how God can take care, or how God takes care of his people who are called according to his purpose. This is more than just this is not even a self-help thing. Because when you hear this sermon, people teach it and use it to say how you can fulfill your vision, how you fulfill your personal vision. I've heard sermons and I've preached sermons like that. But what you look at is, here is a guy right in the center of God's will, fulfilling God's purpose. God's agenda was to bring the Messiah through a nation. God has chosen Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob has got his descendants. Now, God foresaw what was going to happen about the famine. Because I bet you if Joseph was not where he was, I don't know where they would get food to eat. If they didn't have an inside man in the establishment. God, seeing into the future, prepared Joseph's life and took him through those things to put him in a place where he'll be able to keep God's purpose going, which was to take care and save the lives of the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's purpose in our life isn't selfish, but it's for us to accomplish his purpose through the gospel in Christ. God's purpose is for you to be a light where you are, on the job, in your university, wherever you are. And when you are doing God's purpose, God will take care of you. When God's purpose is at the center of your heart, he will make a way for you. It's not some selfish thing, because Joseph wasn't selfish, but he understood his place in God's purpose. So as much as the whole message has been trusting God no matter what, ask yourself this question: where am I in God's purpose? Am I in the center of God's will? Is God's will even important to me at all as a Christian? Or is it all about self-interest? Is it all about me? Or is it about the gospel? Is it about Christ? Is it about the body of Christ? Is it about the saints? Or is it just about me? He understood God's purpose. And no matter what happened to him on his journey, he put his trust in God. We will go through hurtful things in life. But you need to maintain your trust in God as a believer, even when you don't understand how you're going to get out or how you're going to get through it. Faith is not a formula. I like something my pastor said to me years ago as a young believer, and I still remember that. It was a message he preached. That's Pastor Mike Adwesi. I will never forget this statement he made. He said, faith is born out of relationship. People want to get into mechanics. Point one, point two, point three. But guess what? It's about relationship with God. And when you build your relationship with God, you trust him and let him, he already knows anyway, but trust him with your situations that you face at work, at college, university, secondary school, whatever it is, dealing with your children, whatever the drama is, as you live this Christian life. We all have to deal with all the realities of life as Christians. And God wants us to trust him through it. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, I pray for everyone here. We all have different situations, different things that we're having to deal with in our personal lives. I pray, Lord, that you strengthen us with inner strength. Strengthen us with might in our inner man. Help us to endure hardship. with joy. And Father, vindicate us in areas where people are taking advantage of us. We're not going to fight them in the natural or get down in the gutter the way they do. But we're going to trust your power and trust your grace to put us over. I thank you, Lord, because you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let us see your grace and your mercy in our day-to-day lives. In Jesus' name, amen.